Anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And you, to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling alongside with Joe Blewett, and we have a very special show for you tonight, as there always is so much to talk about in the world of the New York Jets, as we will definitely take a look back at the offseason along with so many moves that the Jets have made as training camp has started, as we dive into some of the topics of conversation along there. Talk about Muhammad Wilkerson actually showing up for camp. A lot of positive talk about Geno Smith already. Positive talk about the wide receiving group. So a lot of good things have come out of the New York Jets so far. You know, they've taken a positive offseason and they've turned it into a positive start to the summer practically. And where the New York Jets stand right now is it's almost time to put your money where your mouth is and take all of this money that they've spent in their defense and put it all together and see what it translates to on the field. Before we dive into a show tonight as business as usual, we have a very special announcement on Jet Nation Radio, which is going to affect my future of this show, Joe's future of this show, Jerry's future of this show, and our new member of the Jet Nation Radio team, Nick, who has just joined us. And the announcement basically is, you know, Jet Nation Radio, we can't thank everybody enough for all the continued support that we've gotten, you know, from the first show that, you know, when I got here a little bit over a year ago, to sitting down and talking with Joe Namath, to going out and talking to Geno Smith, Joe and I talking to Nick Mangold, Darren Wall. I mean, we have got the pleasure and the honor of being on this program, you know, together for almost a year now. I mean, it's been a long time, and, you know, we've gotten so many player interviews, so many highlights, so many great moments. But we're going to be expanding, and this is all exciting. I mean, this is an exciting announcement about the future of Jet Nation Radio. We're going to be expanding our programming. What that means is I'm going to be taking on a new role with Jet Nation and Jet Nation Radio, which is going to entail a brand new show, and that will include just myself. Joe will be doing a show, and I'll let him, you know, explain after I'm done here with he's going to be doing a show. I know people have, you know, heard when I'm on vacation with Vinny. He's filled in for me a couple times, and what we're doing is we want to provide, you know, a great program on Jet Nation Radio. And rather than just having one big show on Jet Nation Radio, we've made the decision to expand it to two different show programs, giving you, you know, weekly action on multiple nights. My show will be the Brandon Dowling Show through Jet Nation Radio. It'll take place on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. It's not 100% confirmed, but I believe that Joe and Vinny, they will be coming up with a new name for their show, along with keeping the spot here on Tuesday nights at 8. This way, you know, we're going to be covering the New York Jets for Jet Nation and Jet Nation Radio around, you know, during the week, at the beginning of the week and towards the end of the week. I can't be more excited for this opportunity. We are a team here at Jet Nation. We're all a team, and we're all a team on Jet Nation Radio. And the expansion of Jet Nation Radio into two programs is not going to do anything but make us all more successful. And so tonight will be our last broadcast of Joe and I together on one single show on Jet Nation Radio.
Yeah, you know, it's a surreal feeling. It's been, like you said, almost a year. I believe I joined you in July, but we want to give fans, you know, more broadcasting. You're going to be on, I believe you said Thursday nights. I'm going to be on Sunday nights, or not Sunday nights, Tuesday nights. And then we're even trying to, you know, work out something for possibly something on Sunday, which we will get more to into the future. So we're trying to expand Jet Nation Radio. You know, we have a bunch of listeners, we have a bunch of clicks, and we're really trying to give the fans what they want. And it's really, you know, it's an exciting time. I'm going to miss obviously doing a show with you. I'm going to jump onto your show sometimes on Thursdays, you know, maybe talk a little bit with you if there's big news, or if, you know, I'm just bored at work and I have some time. Or maybe, you know, sometimes you can jump onto the show with us on Tuesday night, whatever we're doing. It's not like it's the last time we're going to be talking. And then obviously we have maybe something on Sunday. So we'll see what happens. It's definitely going to be interesting and it's going to be fun. And, you know, I'm really excited for it. It's obviously a little bittersweet with the ending of this, but, you know, we've had a great run. And like you said, we're a team. It's not like, you know, I'm leaving and going to some other website. You're leaving and going to some other website. We're just trying to do the best thing for JetNation.com, and we're going to try to grow our followers, and we're going to really hopefully kick this thing off with some, you know, fire. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said before, we won't spend too much time, you know, dwelling on it. I mean, we have.
We can talk about our favorite memories. You know, you didn't mention Curtis Martin before. The one time we went to the movies, and we, you know, I reached my hand to the popcorn, and then you reached in at the same times, and our hands touched. You know, it's magical. You know, stuff like that.
My favorite moment on this show is definitely the girl calling in regards to drafting a kicker in the first round, and the Elmo wearing the Alex Rodriguez jersey on Twitter, where I think
you're also forgetting about Rudolph. Forgetting about Rudolph.
Oh, I forgot about Rudolph. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's fantastic. I think, you know, obviously we want to make sure that, you know, that the people who are tuning into the show are just as happy. And, you know, it's nothing new. You know, we're still going to be broadcasting. It's just going to be a different lineup of shows. And look, I mean, in the end, everybody wins because, you know, it's going to come down to it where Jet Nation Radio is not going to be once a week. You know, the action is going to be all the time on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And like Joe said, potentially in the works for a live tailgate show on Sunday mornings. So, I mean, Jet Nation and Jet Nation Radio is expanding every single week. And, you know, even you, the fans out there, can get involved. You know, JetNation.com and Jet Nation Radio is always looking for more people to get involved. And feel free to reach out to any of us on Twitter. You know, reach out on Jet Nation. We're always looking for more people to get involved. And but, you know, like I said, tonight will be our last show of the traditional Tuesday night Brandon and Joe Jet Nation Radio, beginning on Thursday, July 17th. Will be the first ever show on Jet Nation Radio, the Brandon Downing Show through Jet Nation. So, I mean, that's going to be very exciting. Thursday the 16th, and then I don't know what's in plans for Joe and Vinny, but I mean, I think everything's going to be, you know, for the best here, and I'm really looking forward to this opportunity. And, you know, let's jump into some football talk here tonight.
Yeah, I'm ready. You can definitely start it off, Brandon. I'm ready to talk football. We haven't been on for 2 weeks, just before. Mm-hmm. You know, you get into that just for old times' sake. I just wanted to remind you that I believe her name was Jenny, actually added a Simba to her collection. So I just wanted to update you on that, you know, before we get into some serious football talk. Her Twitter's really blowing up. She's getting a lot of new stuffed animals and a lot of new things that you really have to take your time and go check it out after the show.
Interesting. I will definitely go check that out. Let's dive into one thing I want to talk about. I'm really shocked. I mean, I am definitely shocked by this news from Muhammad Wilkerson. I mean, we sat here a couple weeks ago, and I was definitely getting the vibe from Muhammad Wilkerson, from his team and his camp, and, you know, from everything that's been reported, that we were on the, you know, we were getting ready for a long holdout, a long period of time. And the fact that he's already at camp, Joe, I mean, what do you make of that?
It's good from a fan perspective to look into it and want to think that him, you know, wanting to show up and wanting to work a contract out with the Jets. And obviously they're in, you know, talks right now to work a contract out, but you're hearing the Jets are around $11 million and he wants around $14-15 million, you know, JJ Watt, Robert Quinn kind of money. Mm-hmm. So that's still ongoing. I think it's more of really, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here. I think it's really more of him not wanting to lose. I think it's like the $70,000. I forget exactly what it comes out to, but the $70,000 that he would lose if he missed those three practices. So it's exciting to have him in there. You know, you heard that he's doing very well. The defensive line obviously looks absolutely ridiculous right now with Leonard Williams, Snacks, and all those guys. But I think it's still going to be an ongoing process. I really think that You know, I love Wilkerson. It's tough to say this, but I think after this year, he might be gone. He might be traded, or he's going to be franchised. I think he max has another 2 years on his team. Unless they decide to cut a guy like Damon Harrison or not sign a guy like Damon Harrison next year and then decide to put, you know, a rotation of defensive tackles. Obviously, Leonard Williams can play D-tackle a little bit. So can Sheldon, so can Wilkerson. But that would still leave a big hole, and I emphasize big hole, with not having, you know, Harrison in there, because he's the only guy who's 350 pounds and can take on three people. I'm not saying that the other guys can't, but not like Snacks can, because it was not as big. So I don't think it means too much, but if it's him coming and starting to work on the Jets with a contract and they can agree to a contract, that's reasonable, because honestly, if it's for $14-15 million, then we don't need we need him, but we can't sign Wilkerson for $14 million. You look at, you know, Copels and DeMario Davis and all these guys who need to be signed soon. I hope they meet somewhere in the middle around 12, 13 million. And if it happens, I'll be ecstatic, because I just bought a jersey of him last year, and I can't lose another player after I just bought their jersey, just like Leon Washington a couple of years ago. So.
Oh my God. I mean, here's how, I mean, I don't know if it's for the $70,000 bonus or whatever the case may be or anything like that, but I honestly was shocked by it. I think that Muhammad Wilkerson was ready to go into a major holdout to either result in him getting a new contract or getting traded. The fact that he's out there, you know, participating in these drills and practicing and taking a part of this is very, you know, it's definitely not what I was expecting. I mean, I looked at Muhammad Wilkerson's situation as, you know, a premier player in this league. He wants a new deal. He just saw the Jets give out tons of money. Why would I show up if they're not taking care of me? That was my thought process. So, I mean, maybe Muhammad Wilkerson is just not the type of guy to say, you know what, we didn't get a deal done. Screw you guys. I'm not coming out there until I get a new contract in. But apparently he's not. I mean, maybe he honestly just cares about the game of football and this organization more than, you know, because the normal guy in the NFL – a normal player as good as Muhammad Wilkerson, he's not showing up at camp. He's not showing up. He's not going through what Muhammad Wilkerson's doing right now. And maybe this is just how the NFL is set up and how these players act today, where Muhammad Wilkerson's actions are actually different from what normally takes place from an NFL football player in his situation.
Yeah, you know, and it just seems like last year, since, you know, we've been on the air, it's like, okay, training camp, it's coming around, OTAs, it's about to be preseason, let's get Wilkerson signed, and then Wilkerson gets hurt, and, you know, it seems like every month we're talking about signing Wilkerson with Isaac, and now, you know, the new GM, the new staff came in, and we're talking about signing him, and now it's put off all the way until July, August, it might be put off until next year. So it's really, really interesting. I don't know how they're going to fit all of these guys on the defensive line. And I've read some articles recently. You know, I've been just ridiculously busy. I've been working 64 hours a week, so I haven't been able to keep up on my information like I usually do. But when you think about it, you have four really, really good players. You have three chairs for them to sit down in. And at one point when the music stops, they're only going to have three chairs. So one of them is going to have to go eventually. You can't keep, you know, a rotation for how much, let's say Damon Harrison around 8 million, Wilkerson around 13, and Sheldon's going to want a little bit more, and then Leonard Williams in a few years, you're not going to be able to pay, you know, 50, 60 million, whatever it may be. I'm getting hypothetical numbers, but you can't put that all into a defensive line when not all of them are even going to be starting. So it's interesting. We'll see what happens, Brandon.
Definitely. And I also look at the way the Jets are set up right now, you know, on the defensive line. Does Muhammad Wilkerson, you know, think about this too, Joe, is his mindset where, you know, the Jets have added all these guys where he doesn't want to kind of fall under the radar and the Jets to say to themselves, well, guess what? You know, let's take a look at the talent we have. Maybe Muhammad Wilkerson is not, you know, is not in the type of situation that we are where we can say, okay, you know, he's not at camp. Let's let everybody else shine. And then they look at, you know, his situation and say, well, maybe we don't need to sign this guy to a long-term deal.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's the whole thing about it right now. If we had an extra year, which we do, obviously, because he's still under that, what is it, $7 million contract? I think it's a little bit over $7 million. We have a year to evaluate Leonard Williams, because if Leonard Williams comes out, and I'm not saying he's going to be, I really doubt it from all the tape and that everybody says that he's the best player in the draft. He can come out and be a Vernon Golston where he doesn't get a sack or he doesn't get a lot of tackles, and then you have to keep a guy like Wilkerson. But it's really that 1 year window. If you have time, obviously you're not going to expect Leonard Williams to come off the bench. He's probably going to play, a good percentage of the snaps, because obviously Todd Bowles used four defensive line. I believe it was over 400 snaps last year or something like that. So he's going to be seeing the field, so you have time to evaluate him, but don't expect, 10 sacks, 47 tackles for loss, 130 tackles. Like, don't expect that. You're going to expect more of, maybe 5 sacks, 40 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, but you want to see what he does. It's not about the numbers. It's more about you turn on the film, you see how effective he is when he's in the game, when he does get that time. So you have a year to evaluate Leonard Williams, and that's why I really think that it's very doubtful that you're going to sign Wilkerson right now, because if Leonard Williams comes out, he's just an absolute monster. If he's the next, J.J. Watt, which I don't think he will be. I don't want to get people to get after me on Twitter or whatever, but let's just say he's the next J.J. Watt, and then you already signed Wilkerson, and you're not letting Sheldon Richardson go because that guy's an absolute monster, and you can't let Damon Harrison go because he's your nose tackle. What are you going to do? You're going to have to cut Giacomini and Ferguson, who's getting paid $14 million next year. You're not going to be able to plug in anybody from free agency or anything like that into those positions. So you can't pay all these guys. Like I said, and they had that really, really valuable year to evaluate a guy like Leonard Williams, and we'll see what happens with Leonard Williams. Obviously, like I've talked about a million times in the show, Brandon, I love Wilkerson. I love his demeanor. I love how he goes about things. I love how he's a local guy and he's a homegrown talent. We picked him at pick 30, and it's not, often that you get a guy like this at pick 30. I know it's the first round, but still, look what he turned into. It's going to be sad to see him go if he does, but, if he does, then you can't get too attached. So,
all right, we're going to take a quick break here on Jet Nation Radio. When we come back, we'll talk more off-season, more Geno Smith and his start to camp, and we'll dive into all things New York Jets. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information using the right media. Media. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
Anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And we are back off the break here on Jet Nation Radio. And my man Joe wants to dive into some topics. And since it's our last show, go ahead.
Okay, Brad. So we have, obviously, it's been, you know, a couple of weeks that we haven't talked about training camp and all that. And we'll get a little bit into more of, you know, the prior, how he went hard on Zach Sudfeld. We'll talk a little bit about the tight end position. But right now, since it's the last show, something I realized that we haven't talked about yet, and obviously we would have done this in the future, but something I want to do real quick is actually rank the AFC East, because, you know, I hear a whole bunch of other people do it. I hear, you know, ESPN radio do it. I see it on Bleacher Report, everybody ranking the AFC East, and, you know, where the team stands. Are the Jets second? Are they third? Are they fourth? And obviously all the teams have improved so much. I just want to get your quick opinion on, you know, how you rank the AFC East.
Well, I think the old saying, to be the man, you got to beat the man, still is into effect. So obviously, I don't think you can take until the Patriots do not win a division title and another team comes in here and takes this division from them, I don't think you can take them off the number one spot, regardless of their current situation with Tom Brady in the first four games. I don't think that matters. Second thing is, I think the Jets have definitely taken a step in the right direction. I mean, you look at these last three teams. Miami has gotten better. Buffalo's gotten much better. The Jets have gotten much better. So I think the New York Jets are probably, I mean, you look at all three of these teams, who do you have to give the edge to? I mean, Miami's in a good place on defense. The Dolphins, I mean, the Bills are in a good place on defense, and the Jets are in a good place on defense. I think, again, this is a quarterback-driven league, and, you know, who do you think has the best quarterback out of the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Jets?
Oh, no, it's definitely the Dolphins, and that's why it's hard to rank us over the Dolphins right now, just because of the quarterback. But keep going.
So I'm gonna go with Miami as the second best team, and I'm gonna go with the Jets as the third best team, and Buffalo as the right. But I mean, it's right there. I mean, the Jets could honestly be the best team in this division. I mean, I don't see the Jets as a, you know, less than an eight to nine win football team. And I mean that. So, and if that's the third team in the division, I mean, it says a lot about your division. So, I mean, overall, I think the Jets are definitely in the, you know, have improved as of last year. You can't dispute that. I think New England is still at the top. I would put the Dolphins at it's almost like you could put New England at number one, and then you put the Jets, Dolphins, and Bills at 2A, B, and 2A, 2B, and 2C. I mean, that's how close these teams are. But I think, you know, if I had to rank them, I'd go Patriots, Dolphins, Jets, Bills.
Yeah, no, I definitely, if I would be able to, I would definitely take the easy way out and give, you know, the 2A, 2B, 2C kind of thing, because it's really hard to decide between the Jets, the Bills, and Dolphins. Obviously, I agree with you. Number one is the Patriots, because they have Tom Brady, and none of us do. None of the other teams do. They have Bill Belichick, and none of us have a coach like that. Hopefully, Todd Bowles can be a coach, maybe not with some of the things that Bill Belichick has done, but just in the winning side of it. It's the Dolphins don't have as many weapons as the Jets and the Bills. Obviously, the Bills got Shady McCoy. Obviously, they got Percy Harvin. Obviously, they got Watkins. They got Clay. They got all these people. Their defensive line is actually hard to even say the Jets' defensive line is better than theirs. It's actually really close, because Mario Williams and Darius and Kyle Williams are just, there's absolutely ridiculous up there. Obviously, their corners are worse. But, you know, it's all about – it comes down to the quarterback play. Obviously, they just signed Matt Sims, who could possibly be their savior. You have Tyrod Taylor, who is just garbage. EJ Manuel was terrible as well. And then you have a guy like Matt Castle. So it's really all about the quarterback situation. You look at the Jets' defense. You look at their weapons. It's hard to rank the Dolphins above the Jets, but I think the Dolphins might be number two as well, just because they have a guy – in Ryan Tannehill, who can actually throw the ball, and who's actually probably a mid-level starter in this league. So it's going to be very interesting to see. I think I would put the Dolphins at two as well, just because of the quarterback position. But, you know, something else I want to go into about, you know, really quick, I just want to get your opinion about the whole Revis thing. I don't know if you heard about the Revis with his mom and going into the Patriots party. I don't know about that. Yeah, so supposedly we haven't been on in a while, and I haven't got to talk to you about this, but Revis has prior engagements. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's, you know, watching a movie, you know, going to see Jurassic Park, whatever he had to do that day. But he didn't want to go to Robert Kraft's house and get the ring, you know, handed to him. And then Rhea's mom tries to go and get the ring, and then they tell her that it's a player's only thing, and she can't come in, and then she has to actually go to the box office and pick it up that the next day or two. So what do you think about that? You think it's another classless move by the Patriots?
Oh, it's a joke. I mean, it's just – I mean, it's I'm not surprised. I mean, it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, actually. So, I mean, I look at this that whole situation as Darrell Rivas definitely just doesn't want to be a part of it, and – you know, obviously he never felt comfortable with them from the beginning. He took the money to go there. He went there. Here's the reality of it. Darrell Rivas wanted to be with the Jets. You know, he never wanted to leave this organization. He never wanted to leave the Jets. He was forced out of here by John Idzik. He goes to Tampa, leaves Tampa. What's the first thing that he does after he leaves Tampa? Okay. The first thing that he does after he leaves Tampa and he goes to free agency is calls the Jets and says, I want to come back. The Jets say no. So if the Jets tell him no and the Jets go after him and say, you know, we're not interested, what is the best way to get back at the Jets? The best way to get back at the Jets is turning around and signing with the Patriots. Do you honestly think that Darrell Rivas didn't go play for the Patriots because he wanted to be in New England and he wanted to make that his football home and that's where he wanted to be a part? He went there because he was pissed off at the Jets organization for not entertaining the idea of bringing him back and because he wanted to play for a Super Bowl ring. Nothing to do with the New England Patriots, nothing to do with their organization. And now that he's out of there and now he's got the money that he always wanted from the Jets, he's back in New York, he's got a Super Bowl ring, he's got it all. So I don't think he really needs or cares about anything else that's going on in New England. And good for him. He shouldn't, because that should be his biggest concern right now is how do I beat them twice a year?
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely agree with you with some of that. It's definitely nice, you know, after seeing him go to the White House with the Patriots and seeing him be there, it's a little weird to see him with our enemy. We obviously all hate the Patriots with a burning passion just because of what they are and what they represent. So for him to go to Robert Kraft's house and deny them, deny the invitation is actually kind of nice. And no, I do agree that he didn't want to go to the Patriots necessarily. I don't think it was necessarily to get back at the Jets. I think it's because they offer him a crap load of money and they're a Super Bowl winning team. They won plenty of Super Bowls no matter how they did it, whether it be, you know, Spygate or whatever it may be. But he got a ring and he came back to the Jets and he's already talking crap about the Patriots, you know, saying that they've always been doing shaky things and Tom Brady does shaky things and whatever it may be. So it's nice to see Rivas definitely talk some crap about the Patriots. But something else that's happened too recently, Brandon, that everybody blew it up. I'm not sure if it really deserves as much media attention as it got, but I believe it was during the 3-day minicamp and supposedly prior. I've heard a whole bunch of conflicting stories that either Zach Sudfeld, you know, landed and Pryor hit him, or Zach Sudfeld was going out of bounds and Pryor pushed him. But from one of the more things I've heard, I think it's the fact that Zach Sudfeld caught a ball and Pryor, you know, pushed him out of bounds and he went a little hard and he ended up hurting Zach Sudfeld, and now he tore his ACL and he is on the IR. So I want to know, you know, in my personal opinion, I think it's Pryor trying to impress a new coaching staff. He's trying to, you know, earn the starting strong safety spot. And he's trying to learn this offense. He's trying to make it mark. I don't think it's, you know,
right,
him trying to hurt Zach Sudfeld or being stupid. It might be a little bit of being stupid, but I think the guy's just going hard. He's trying to earn a spot on this roster, and he's playing with some passion after everybody's calling him a bust already. After 1 year when he's playing free safety, when he's clearly a strong safety, I would put him more as a linebacker than a free safety if I had to put him in a spot. So, you know, what did you think about Pryor and all that media press about him going too hard and hurting Zach Sudfeld?
I think that it happens. I think that we see it all the time in terms of, you know, early on like this, guys are coming in. It's mandatory now. You're starting to, you know, hit, you know, you're starting to make, you know, have contact drills, you know, 7-on-7s, all that stuff. I mean, look, it's almost to the point where, you know, when you're practicing, how hard is too hard? And, you know, when you're in practice like that, obviously it's a shame that a guy like Zach Sudfeld is done like that. You know, his season's over before it even starts. And it really is. It's a shame. You know, it's a matter of where, you know, he's in practice, and I'm sure Zach Sudfeld is trying to impress these coaches to stay on the roster just as much as Calvin Pryor is. So I get it. I don't have any blame towards Calvin Pryor. I mean, there are guys who practice just as hard as they play, and that's just the way they are. I mean, they say a lot of Hall of Fame guys, they practice just – there are some guys that don't practice at all and that are Hall of Famers, you know, that went out there every week and, you know, their body was so worn down that they couldn't afford to practice, and they just played in the one game on Sunday, and that was it. So, I mean, it all depends on what type of player you are. And in the NFL, these guys are trying to make a name for themselves, and especially with a new coaching staff. Obviously, Calvin Pryor wants to show that he has the ability to make plays, you know, as a hard hitter, and can make things happen in practice, because if you don't practice well in front of new coaches, you're not going to play. So I chalk it up to the same thing basically you did. I don't think that he went, you know, too hard or anything like that, because who's to say that, you know, it's technically they like practices to be almost like game speed. And obviously you don't want any cheap shots, but you want these players getting ready for, you know, you're trying to get them back into football mode and football shape. And the best way to do that is with live contact like that. And live contact is going to cause injuries. And, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, there have been a lot of guys who, you know, look at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their number one pick went down without even a contact injury. You know, so, I mean, it happens. So it's a dangerous game. We all know that. And it's going to result in injury. So I don't have any blame towards Pryor. It happens all the time in the NFL, especially this early on when guys aren't in ready, you know, football ready mode.
Yeah, my boy Dante Fowler, I can't believe it. It was like one of the first practices. I believe it was actually the first drill, if I'm not mistaken, that Dante Fowler made a cut and blew out his ACL. So that's just terrible for the Jacksonville Jaguars, a franchise who's really been going through some turmoil. I know, you know, Jets fans think they have it rough, but at least we've been to two AFC championships, championship games. You know, the right. Jaguars have just been terrible. They had some good years, obviously, when we were young, when they had you know, Garrard and that type of stuff. But, you know, yeah, like you said, and with a guy like Pryor, too, who last year he missed the meetings, you heard that he was, you know, really lackadaisical, he wasn't sprinting, he wasn't trying in practice. Obviously, it's not good to hear that Zach Sudfeld, you know, went down and tore his ACL and was out for a year, even though there's no love lost between me and Zach Sudfeld, obviously, after that Packers game where the guy is 6'7", and the corner is 5'11", and there's a ball in the air, and he doesn't even try attempt to go catch the ball or – you know, tackle right. the cornerback or whatever it may be. So I don't think he was turning into everything. Every single offseason or the last couple of years, it's Zach Sudfeld is really making strides. He's catching everything. He's 6'7". He's going to be a huge red zone threat this year. He's not going to have a lot of yards. He'll have a lot of touchdowns. You know, I heard it every single year. But I don't think that Sudfeld, you know, would have made much of an impact on this roster, even if he even made the roster. But it's definitely nice to see that Pryor's going hard. He needs to work hard. He needs to show us that he's not a bust. He needs to come out. He needs to light people up. And hopefully to do that just like Buchanan did with the Cardinals last year. And that's basically how Todd Bowles is going to use him. He's going to use him almost as an extra linebacker and in coverage, you know, at some times. But, you know, that leads us into the tight end position. So the tight end position, obviously, you have Zach Sudfeld going down. And then you actually have the Jets trying to claim Tim Wright in waivers. And actually, if the Bucs didn't claim him back because obviously they traded him to the Patriots last year, the Jets would have actually been awarded Tim Wright, and we would have had Tim Wright who had, you know, I think he had like six to eight touchdowns last year in his rookie year or his second year. I forget what it is. And it's actually weird because Vinny's mom is friends with his mom and she's a dentist or something. And Vinny went to a game with Tim Wright's mom or it was something weird. I'll let Vinny, you know, talk about that a little bit next week. But we're going after a guy like Tim Wright. So do you think the tight end position is in trouble right now, Brandon? Are you fine going into the season, you know, with Kellen Davis, with Jeff Cumberland, with Jason Morrow? Or maybe even if you see a guy like a Wes Saxton who's 6'3", 248, and he runs, I believe, a 4.66 or a 4.65. So he would obviously be a mismatch for a corner because he's too big and a linebacker because he's too fast. So do you think a guy like Wes Saxton who you know, potentially could have or was supposed to be drafted in the fifth or sixth round could make this roster? How do you see the tight end position playing out, and is it a worry for you or is it not?
I think that you're going to have to see a big jump from a guy like Jason Mara. I think that he's going to, you know, he's obviously the tight end that everybody is looking for, you know, looking to, that's going to be that almost like, you want Jason Morrow to be like a Jason Witten is for Tony Romo. You know, obviously he doesn't have to put up those type of numbers and be that type of tight end, you know, one of the best in the league. But Jason Morrow, yeah. You know, a lot of people get on Dustin Keller and a lot of people talk about Dustin Keller and his time here. But let me tell you something. When Mark Sanchez got in trouble, And when Mark Sanchez was, you know, stepped back there and he looked like he was about to get walloped by a defensive lineman and he was scared with the ball, the first person that he looked to as his check down or as his guy he's staring down is Dustin Keller. And that's what Amaro has to be for Geno Smith. He has to be that security blanket. He has to be that guy that, you know, went on third and five, when Geno Smith is looking for all these wide receivers and they're covered, and Jason Morrow is in the middle of the field sitting there like throwing the ball, he needs to be that guy for Geno Smith. And I mean, I think Cumberland definitely has some upside. He just has to put it all together. Again, you know, we've seen flashes of Jeff Cumberland when he's been pretty good, you know, that he can be an impact player for this team. So I think that the Jets, you know, when you look at the tight end position, you have to say, is Jason Morrow going to make that step to being, you know, a very good, from average to good tight end?
Yeah, no, I agree with you with Dustin Keller. A lot of people hate on Dustin Keller, but he actually had some good years. I remember his first year, he had like 500 and something yards, and then his next year, we thought he was going to do a little bit better, but he battled some injuries. I think he still played all the games, but he had, I believe it was around the same thing. He had like 520 yards or something like that. And then his next year, I remember he made a little bit of a jump. And then his last year, he had like 800 yards. So he wasn't really a bad tight end for the Jets. And I don't know why a lot of people hate on Dustin Keller like they do. But, you know, I definitely agree with you on Jason Morrow. Jason Morrow, you see him come from the spread in Texas Tech. You see Chan Gailey run the spread. So I think, honestly, the top three people who benefit from Chan Gailey and this new coaching staff, not necessarily just Chan Gailey, but Todd Bowles and all these coaches, I'm going to say it's Jason Morrow. It's a guy like Quinton Coples, and it's a guy like Pryor. So he's definitely up there. He obviously had a case of the dropsies last year. There's a couple of times where he either tried to catch the ball too fast and try to run down the field without looking the ball in, or you just have a, you know, mental lapse of running the wrong route or rounding out his routes instead of making them nice and crisp. But Jason Morrow definitely has potential, and you look at the spread offense when he's going to be lined up in the slot or out wide or wherever he may be. But can you imagine a guy like, you know, Jason Morrow against a slot receiver? Even if there's a guy like a Buster Screen or Buster Scrine or Screen, whatever, you know, look at his size. He's, what, 6'4"? So he'll definitely be taking advantage of a lot. And I think he's going to have a breakout year. I'm not necessarily saying he's going to have 1,000 yards, but when you have a guy like Brandon Marshall, when you have a guy like Eric Decker, who can both work from the slot, Jeremy Curley can go out wide sometimes. There's going to be a whole bunch of mismatches. So a guy like Jason Morrow coming off a rookie year where he was impressive. I think he was definitely the best rookie tight end to me in the league, and I'm not just being a homer there, but guys like Eric Ebron and Austin Seferian Jenkins really didn't impress. So it's not saying too much, but he definitely showed flashes, especially in that Broncos game where he had that touchdown and he had a couple. I think he had like 10 catches in that game. So I think a guy like Jason Morrow is really going to benefit from a guy like Chan Gailey. And then you look at a guy like Jeff Cumberland, who I actually think might be, you know, one of the vets who could be on the roster bubble, because you look at his contract. I believe it's like I believe if we cut him, we'll free up like $2 million. Maybe that'll go to Wilkerson or something. But it seems like every single year, Brandon, in training camp, it's, oh, Jeff Cumberland this, Jeff Cumberland that. He's going to, after the Falcons game 2 years ago, Geno is, oh, he's really going to step it up. And then this year he disappeared. And I remember, I forget exactly what game it is. I don't know if you can refresh my memory or whoever can, but there's actually a game where Geno threw a strike right down the middle of the field, and Jeff Cumberland he was literally jogging, and he could have caught a ball for maybe a 40, 50-yard gain, and he was just jogging. So Jeff Cumberland really been pissing me off, and I think if a guy like Wes Saxton can step up and he can play to his potential, even though I think he's too raw and he's probably going to end up on the practice squad, but maybe a guy like Cumberland could be off the team. And obviously you have a guy who I think is safe in Kellen Davis, who is the only blocking tight end we have, and obviously – on the right side of the line, you have Breno Giacomini, who was getting blown away by fast, any type of fast, you know, outside linebacker. Again, it doesn't have to be Cameron Wake. It doesn't have to be a guy like Jerry Hughes. It can be just a decent guy, and he just gets blown away with speed. So you need an extra guy on that edge to block. We saw Jason Morrow. We saw, you know, Jeff Crumlin try to block guys like Cameron Wake, and it just didn't work out. So I think Kellen Davis is going to stick. But the tight end position is probably, I'm going to say, a top five worry of mine on this team. And obviously, you know, quarterback, O-line, tight end, the receiving running back, and safety are some of my worries, and not to mention a coverage linebacker. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see what happens with Jeff Cumberland. But, you know, getting on with, veterans on the roster bubble, I want to hear your opinion on some veterans who could possibly be cut that people aren't thinking about. Do you have any names that, come to your mind, maybe a guy like Babin or a guy like Willie Colon, or what do you think?
In regards to what?
In regards to veterans who are on the roster bubble, maybe it's a guy like a Ridley, or maybe it's a guy
definitely a guy like Babin. I mean, you look at the depth that they have on this defense, where do you see a guy like Babin fitting in?
Yeah, no, exactly. And if you see a guy like Lorenzo Maldon step up and in training camp it's mid-July where we actually start getting into the real practices and you see all these things, and you see a guy like IK who really, really freaking flashed last year. Some of them, I believe it was Connor Rogers or one of those guys that turned on the Jets, broke down some film on Twitter. And if you haven't checked those guys out, you should at least go and look at some of the tape they break down, because it's actually pretty cool to watch the tape being broke down. And IK, some of his plays are just fantastic with his burst and his motor and his bull rush. I think he can really make an impact. So if you see a guy like an IK, you see a guy like a Lorenzo Maldon really burst out on the scene in these upcoming training camps, then a guy like Babin, who's 35 and who really didn't provide much for us. He had 2 sacks. He had a lot of quarterback pressures, but he wasn't blowing us away. Maybe a guy like Calvin Pace can be gone. But some other names that just come off the top of my mind, maybe a guy like Stephen Bowen, obviously. He's on the defensive line. We have guys like Dickerson there who could be cut too. You have Duzable. You have TJ Barnes. You have a whole bunch of names there. You have Deion Barnes, who was drafted. You have a whole bunch of guys on the defensive line, so maybe a guy like that. But it's definitely going to be interesting to see. And really quick, we only have 18 minutes too. I was talking about offensive line being a worry of mine, and I know you definitely heard about the Jets trying to go out about getting Evan Mathis. So what would you think if the Jets got Evan Mathis? Do you think,
fantastic.
What would your price range be for Evan Mathis?
I mean, I don't – the market for him – I mean, this guy could have been, definitely on the Jets' radar, and obviously we've heard so many things – in regards to that. And when you look at Evan Mathis, you look at the Jets, you say, okay, obviously they could use somebody at guard. Obviously you could use a Pro Bowl player. There are a lot of people in this league that need offensive linemen. There are a lot of teams that are desperate for offensive linemen. So I would look at the price range for Evan Mathis probably being right around like $5 to $6 million a year. I don't know how much more than I would go above that. He just got cut from a team. So obviously it's not like he's a big trade, type guy, and the Eagles moved on from him for a reason. So I think the Jets could look at a guy like Evan Mathis and then say to themselves, is he worth spending a lot of money for? How much more does he have left? And can we get by with the offensive line that we have now?
Yeah, no, you look at a guy like Evan Mathis, who is probably a top 5 guard in this league, and you add him to a guy, Nick Mangold, who is probably one or two of the best centers in the league right now. I remember, 2 years ago, Geno Smith's first year, he had some struggles. And then last year, he just came out and absolutely dominated people. So if we actually get a guy like Evan Mathis next to him on the right side, and a guy like a James Carpenter, who is solid to decent, I think he's a mid-level starter at left guard, and you put two guys like that next to him instead of Ode Ibushi and Brian Winters and Willie the holding machine Cologne. You'll definitely see guys, even a guy like DeBrickashaw Ferguson step up. So adding a guy like Evan Mathis to our offensive line.
What would your price range be for him, would you say?
I hate that you're asking me that question right now, because it's so hard to decide, because I'm so like, this is one of the topics that I'm just really on the fence about. Because at the same time, you're trying to sign Wilkerson, you're trying to sign all these guys for next year. But to just give you an easy answer, I would go, because I believe from what I've heard that Evan Mathis is looking for 2 years and a lot of guaranteed money, or at least a decent amount. I would go 2 years, $13 million with like $7 million guaranteed for Evan Mathis, because what he would add to this offensive line would be fantastic. And obviously, we'd have a solid left tackle, a solid guard center and right guard. And obviously, Breno Giacomini is not the best at right tackle, but you can't have a whole bunch of stars. I'm not calling all these guys stars because a guy like James Carpenter is at left guard. But this offensive line would automatically maybe shoot from, let's say, 16th best in the league to 10 if a guy like Adam Nafis came and he was playing next to Nick Mangold, because I think people really underrate Adam Nafis. I know he's like 33 years old, but if you ever watch an Eagles game last year and you saw who they were running behind with Shady, it was Adam Nafis, because he was just destroying people. So he would really add a lot to this offensive line. So it's going to be interesting to see if they do chase him around. I think they definitely have to call him, at least poke him a little bit, because if he only wanted a price like a $5 million or $6 million with just a little bit more guaranteed money, you definitely have to try to sign a guy like an Evan Mathis who would just add a whole bunch to this line. But Brandon, before we get off, we have to talk about the all-famous quarterback position. So you mentioned at the beginning of the show, Geno, you've been hearing – in the last couple of weeks, I believe it was on the 10th or the 11th, that everybody was just blowing up Twitter. And I'll give you some quotes, because I actually wrote some of them down, because it was just ridiculous. Because the first couple of weeks of OTAs and training camp and all this stuff, we heard Geno is sucking, he's throwing 3 picks, he's really doing bad. But, you know, I believe on the 10th, people were saying he had an amazing practice. He was firing in balls. He was throwing balls over Buster Screen. He was throwing balls over Revis. I believe he had a 70-yard touchdown. I believe it was the Veer Posey he threw to. So a whole bunch of sources are just saying that he's been really hot last couple of practices, which is definitely nice to hear. And you know, you look at his last 4 games last year, you hope he can build on it. But a guy on NFL.com, I almost want to pronounce his name, I'll probably butcher it. But I believe it's Greg Rosenthal or whatever his name is. I don't know if you know him.
Yep.
But some quotes from him. He actually is the guy who usually bashes the Jets a little bit. So it's actually nice to hear some good things about him. And obviously it's a slow time. Brandon, so I've been reading stuff like this, but he said Geno showed more last December than Derek Carr or Blake Bortles showed all season. He said after week 13, when the Jets ran the ball 49 times to 13 passes, Geno really stepped it up in the last 4 games. 65 completion percentage, which is solid. 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns, 2 picks. And 9.2 yards per attempt, which was actually tied for first. And then he went into, you know, reasons why he thinks that happened, why he will be successful. He's saying in the last 4 games, his decision making was great. He wasn't panicking under duress. The Jets offensive line gave him time, which hopefully will improve now with James Carpenter, obviously. He said he had excellent pocket movement. He had a sixth sense in the pocket and licked off defenders, which he's had a problem with. He said Jets didn't ask Geno Smith to do much, which obviously he won't have to do this year with our defense, which could be number one, and the running game and Brandon Marshall and all these guys. And he said the last game he showed off the big arm and touch. And then he went on to say that Chan Gailey, making a guy like Tyler Thigpen into a starter in fantasy, Ryan Fitzpatrick getting a $60 million contract and you know, leading a Jay Fielder team to 8th in points. He said he really thinks that Geno Smith can you know, step it up. I'm not saying that Geno Smith's going to be a mid-level starter, but, you know, how much value do you put into guys like Greg from NFL.com and like these guys saying that Geno had an amazing practice? You know, are your hopes at least raised a little bit for Geno Smith this year, or how do you feel?
My hopes have been a little bit raised since the end of last year, and it's not because of the way Geno Smith finished the season. It's because I honestly believe that this season for Geno Smith is going to be put up or shut up. I've said it from the beginning. I'll keep saying it for the rest of the summer. I'm going to be talking to myself probably, so no one's going to be listening to me or telling me that I'm wrong. So that's always going to be good for my self-esteem. But my, Geno Smith this year, okay, this is it. You know, if Geno Smith comes out and he gets benched multiple times and the New York Jets come out and the New York Jets, you know, say, you know, this is, you know, obviously it's a disappointment, blah, blah, whatever you want to say. If Geno Smith does not improve this year, and Geno Smith doesn't take a Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Jeremy Curley, Devin Smith, Jason Morrow, Chris Ivory, these guys, okay, and you don't take this team and that offensive group, barring any injuries, then you're not cut out to play quarterback in the National Football League. If you put any other quarterback in this spot, they would be foaming at the mouth to get into this situation. Don't you agree?
Yep. Oh, no. If I'm not going to say his name, I'll scratch out Tom Brady, but if you put Aaron Rodgers in this offense, it would be absolutely ridiculous.
Right. And Geno Smith has to get himself, because, like I said from the beginning, do you have, right now, do you have 100% confidence in Geno Smith being able to, you know, compete at a good level for the Jets next year and be a decent quarterback? Point blank, yes or no?
No.
All right, let's bring, you know what? How about this? Joe, do you really want to scare new people that join Jet Nation? Like, I think this would be like a little bit of a shock factor, don't you? Let's go to new person that's joined Jet Nation Radio. Let's bring in our new producer behind the scenes, Nick Lucarelli. Nick, you're on the air, my man. Were you expecting this or no?
No, I wasn't, but I welcome it. I welcome the...
Look at this. So, Nick, question for you. Do you have... This is point blank yes or no, gun to your head. You can't give me any explanation, no reason as to why. Do you have confidence in Geno Smith, yes or no?
No.
Remember, you are under a lot of pressure here, so give a valid reason.
So your answer is no?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much for your feedback, my friend. I'm going to put you back in the screen room where you and Jerry can enjoy some tea and have a nice conversation again. We'll keep going here, okay?
Happy to contribute. Thank you.
Yeah, all right. So, you know what? Let's bring
like a rag doll.
Hold on. We've been doing this for a year now, and I've never hit this button on Jerry. Jerry, you're on Jet Nation Radio. Can you hear me all right? Jerry, you're on the air. All right. Jerry, yes or no, point blank, do you have confidence in Geno Smith?
To be honest, no chance.
Yes or no?
No, definitely not. No.
Okay, right, hang up on Jerry. It's still in the room.
So we
still
just went through. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4 Jet fans, 2 behind the scenes and 2 on the show. The answer to the question is no. So if we don't have confidence as Jet fans in Geno Smith, you know the organization is sticking it out here to bring Geno Smith in for another year because they really don't have any other options and they didn't make the move for Marcus Mariota. So let's be honest with ourselves here, okay? If Geno Smith doesn't produce this year, then when is he going to? Because I think that Geno Smith is playing with house money. And what I mean by that for our gamblers out there and for people who don't gamble is you're all in. Geno, you're all in. It's break or bust this year for you, okay? It's either you're going to break through or you're going to be a bust because there's no in-between. Because if the Jets fall flat on their face after spending all this money and going out and having this offseason and it's the quarterback's fault, they're going to look for a new QB next year. And they will trade the farm to get up to go get one of the new QBs in the draft. Geno Smith should be thankful that they didn't go up and get Marcus Mariota. Because if they went up and got Marcus Mariota, Geno Smith's time with the Jets would be done. He's been given a second chance to prove himself. He's got a new coach. He's got a new scheme. He's got a new weapon disposal. He's got everything he needs to succeed. Now he just needs to perform. And I think he's going to do that because what does Geno Smith have to lose right now? What does he have to lose? Everybody in the organization, top to bottom to the fans, think that he can't get the job done. So the only person who believes that he can get the job done is who? Himself.
Possibly Geno Smith.
Right, himself, and that might even be in question. So if he just goes out and just does what he does, plays football, gets rid of all this stuff that's going on in his head, and he says, you know what, I'm going to go out and I'm going to play football the way I know how, and I'm going to try and get the job done, and he might even be successful. He had a good camp last year. Remember last year everybody was talking about how he was light years away from where he was the year before. And, you know, Geno Smith looks like a different player. And yada, 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 I don't care. Week 1, come out of the tunnel, command the huddle, be a leader on this football team, show that you can get the job done, and lead the Jets to wins this year. Be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.
Yeah, Jesus, you just went on a rant there a little bit. Then you use Jerry and Nick like ragdolls. They come on, they get to say one word, and you hang up on them, and you put them back in the call stream. They probably feel a little bit used right now. So sorry to Jerry and Nick for Brandon doing that. You got a little bit on fire there. But no, I agree with you.
I need a feedback. Everybody's either at the beach or at the bar right now, so nobody's calling in.
No, like you said. like you said, if I think if any Jets fan had a gun to their head and they had to say, is Geno Smith going to be successful this year, they would say no, and they would be smart to do so. Obviously, maybe because of all the stuff I've heard, from a 10% chance, it's went up to an 11% chance. Yep. So we'll see. Like you said, the last four games, they looked really good, just like the last four games of his rookie year. He looked like a completely different player. So we'll see about that. And you brought in Brandon Marshall. You look at this running game, which is third last year. You add a guy like Stephen Ridley and a guy like Zach Stacy, who, in my opinion, are going to be more effective than a guy like Chris Johnson was. And on top of that, you look at a guy like Bilal Powell, who I also think is going to be used more effectively than he was last year under Marnie Mooney. I think a guy like Chan Gayle spread it out a little bit for him and actually let him catch some balls out of the backfield. You add Brandon Marshall, you add Jason Marr in his second year, you add Eric Decker in his true role of a number two receiver, which he thrives at. He's one of the best as a number two receiver in the entire league. And again, I'm not being a homer there. You saw what he did last year, being number one in some of those games. So I think a guy like Eric Decker will really help out will his value increase because of a guy like Brandon Marshall is basically what I'm saying. You add all these weapons. And on top of that, Brandon, it's not even like he can, Geno Smith can first of all just basically throw a ball up sometimes, and a guy like Decker, a guy like a Jason Moore, or a guy like a Brandon Marshall will go catch it. Then you add a guy in Chan Gailey, who honestly, when you think back to it, a guy like Bowles, he was probably looking at a guy. He looked at the Jets quarterback situation and said, I'm not going to use curse words on here, but he said crap. Problem I had in Arizona. We don't really have a quarterback. At least, well, they do have Carson Palmer. He's down for the year. So you know what? I'm going to get all these weapons. I'm going to get McCagnan, get all these weapons, and I'm going to bring a guy like Chan Gailey who runs the spread offense just like Geno Smith did in West Virginia, and we'll see what happens. So if Geno Smith can't succeed with these weapons, with this defense, where he's literally probably going to have to score, there's going to be some games, Brandon, where the Jets are going to win 6-0. I really think that the opening day are against the Browns on September 13th, the Jets might shut the Browns out because they don't have anybody. There's maybe against the Jaguars, they just shut them out. I want to see one shutout this year. That's what I'm praying for. I get to go to one home shutout. That's a topic for a different day. But the Jets are only going to need to score, some games 14 points, 17 points. But if this team can average 20 points a game, 21 points a game, the Jets are really going to be almost in every game. And the people who are saying, 9, 10 wins, I really don't think the Jets will get 11 wins. But the guys who are talking about 10 wins, it's possible if the offense can score 20 points a game. And that's all based on Geno. He's not going to be starting last year like he did at the 10-yard line, the 20-yard line, the 30-yard line. In his own territory, he's going to be starting on the 45 or even on the 50 or the 45 in the opponent's in the opponent's side of the field. So he's going to have a lot of opportunities to score with this defense. He's going to be able to take some chances. So I'm really, really excited to see what happens. And like you said, it's perfect. It's perfect terminology. It's put up or shut up, because with these weapons and even with this offensive line, I know it's not the best in the league, but I believe the Jets were actually top 10 in time allowed last year. So he doesn't have any excuses. He really doesn't. So we will see what happens. It's going to be an interesting year. And, I spent another $700 or whatever on season tickets. So hopefully it's a good year for the Jets, and I can actually, leave some games happy instead of pissed off like I did all last year.
Well, Joe, I mean, we are coming in on 1 minute here. And, before we obviously wrap it up here for the last time on the single edition of Jet Nation Radio, obviously, our programming, like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, is going to be changing as of the next couple weeks. So we'll put out announcements on our Twitter page along with the Facebook. This will be our last show tonight on Jet Nation Radio with Joe and myself. It has been a fantastic run singularly here on Jet Nation Radio. So many great guests, so many people that we've communicated and talked with. I'm going to be moving to my own program through Jet Nation Radio on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. Joe will be hosting a show along with Vinny, who's filled in for me multiple times here on Jet Nation Radio. Basically, our team is expanding, and we're going to have multiple programs during the week. So this way you get your, Jet Nation Radio action on Tuesdays and Thursdays, a little bit of different flavors in each show. We're also looking into doing an in-season Sunday football tailgate show live from home games at MetLife Stadium. So there is a lot going on in the world of Jet Nation and Jet Nation Radio. I want to thank obviously everybody out there for you know, the continued support of this particular program. Jerry behind the scenes since the beginning. You know, I'm excited to bring Nick in here, who's on our show tonight. You know, Joe and I have, you know, worked very hard at this show now for a long time. And I'm definitely going to miss, you know, aggravating the crap out of him to the point where he gets all sweaty and hot and has to open up his window at his house. I'm sure Vinny already does a good job about that, even when they have their conversations now. So, you know, like I said, you know, with that being said, I wish everybody the best of luck in their new moves here on Jet Nation Radio. And it's an exciting time for everybody.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's funny that you bring that up. I think, you know, one of your favorite things, you know, as it be maybe slightly weird, but you'd like to make me sweat in my room, and you always get off on that a little bit, that you'd make me pissed off about, whether it be Darrell Revis or Geno Smith or Michael Vick or whatever we were talking about, maybe the cornerback situation. So I'm definitely going to miss that a little bit. And it's not like I'm not going to talk to you again. You know, I'll make some appearances on the Thursday show.
I'm sure. Man, I was really hoping for, like, when I hang up this phone, that I never have to talk to you ever again. So do I have to, is that still, I put it, you know, I spoke to Phil, and in my new contract for my new show, it's no communication through Joe. So, I mean, I don't know. That might be a little awkward.
You know, not to plug the hopeful thing we got going on Sunday into here, but, you know, we'll be talking. You'll call into some shows on Tuesday. I'll call into some shows on Thursday, maybe Vinny will too. But, you know, with the whole Sunday thing, you know, I'm not going to announce anything, but like you said, we might be looking to do a pre-Sunday show, a pre-football show. We might have a little tent and some, you know, beer pong and cornhole and T-shirts and things like that. So we might be expanding a little bit more. It's in the works. We'll see if it actually happens. So it's, you know, a really exciting time for JetNation.com, a really exciting time for everything. We're trying to do everything we can to make the fans happy. And I think we're really on a good path to doing that. And I think it's going to happen where fans are going to see a lot more from JetNation.com, and they're going to be very surprised and happy with what we're about to accomplish.
Absolutely. And like I said, I can't thank everybody enough. And, you know, in our future here, the future is just getting started at Jet Nation Radio. And remember that the sports talk goes around the clock on JetNation.com. The forums are exploding every single day with new users talking New York Jets football. You want to talk Geno, you want to talk minicamp, whatever you want to talk about, jump on JetNation.com. Like we said before, the forums are exploding every single day with new users. I mean, the next time you hear my voice, it'll be on the new show on Jet Nation Radio, the Brandon Dowling Show on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. You'll definitely hear from Joe and Vinny as they will be announcing their new show coming up here, hopefully by the end of the week, once everything's worked out on that end. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show tonight. I want to thank everybody for all their continued support of JetNation.com and Jet Nation Radio. The action is just picking up for Jet Nation as we will be continue to give updates throughout this entire process as we look to bring you more and more programming on a weekly basis. We are a full team here staffed at Jet Nation, and we want to bring you the best New York Jets unfiltered action and sports talk out there on the web. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we will see you. Well, I guess I can't say next week, right, Joe? I completely screwed up that out, Joe. Well, I guess we'll... we'll see you when we see you, Jet Nation. Stay classy, San Diego.
Perfect.
Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.